Excuse me for being a little late. Actually, as a matter of prayer, I was just talking with one of our neighbors. And it's very difficult for our neighbors, us being outside and us having sound that carries. You can appreciate that some of our neighbors are increasingly upset with just the noise that we produce in the community. I just tried to assure him again of our intent to try and be good neighbors. We want to be good neighbors. But the difficulty that we have with regards to wanting to worship and also have that sound carry to our neighbors, we don't have a facility. So will you please join me, continue to join me in prayer as we pray through the completion of our process. We have asked, we have our official recognition, we have that from the government. We are seeking to purchase property so that we can build. We'll need a building permit from the government. And pray that God will speed this process up. Not just for us, but for our community as well. Will you do that? Because we don't want to be bad neighbors. And we don't want to give the name of Christ a bad image. But in our freedom, sometimes we do offend our neighbors. So pray that somehow these kind of things can be resolved. Amen? Also, before I get to the message, I just want to also thank you for your continued partnership with me in the ministry here at Mahdi Community Church. It's been exciting to see how God has worked and how He continues to work in all of us. As many of you know from the announcement in our Nile Read last week, this will be my last Friday until September. I'm doing the Israel pilgrimage, and then I'll be gone for the summer on extended leave that the Church Council has granted me. And let me simply say that I'm not only looking forward to this, it's not an issue so much that I deserve it. It's more, quite frankly, an issue that I need it. And I ask you to pray for me. Many of you come to me at different times and say, will you pray for me for this and pray for me for that? And I love to pray for you. I'm asking you now to pray for me. I really need a fresh touch from the Lord. Some of you have said, oh, but, you know, we still enjoy your preaching. Good. But I can take my spiritual pulse, and I know when I need a deep, new work of God in my heart. And that's what I need. That's what I'm longing for this summer. And I'm just looking forward to getting lost in the mountains for a while and just spending time with my Master. But I ask you, will you please pray for me? Because I don't just need mountains and trees and streams, which I'm looking forward to. But I need time with God. And it's been so busy around here lately that I haven't had that, quite frankly. And I ask that as I pray for you this summer, as we're apart, that you would also, as the Lord puts me on your heart, if you would lift me up to the Lord and ask God for a fresh touch from heaven. Hopefully, I can spill over when I get back, if you would do that. And I sense that this is about to happen.
it's certainly going to happen. You guys have called me here to be involved in helping this church become a church of small groups. And I want to be about that. I had intended after the service, before I pronounced the benediction, to pray for this man. That was my timing. That God's timing is now. And I wonder if, Brenda, if you're there, would you please come and join me? Barry, would you come and join me too? Because I would like to do just that on your behalf. I'd also ask that you would stand with me in support of owning this prayer as well for our good brother and good sister, David and Brenda. Father, this is what it's all about. This is what Christian love is all about. It's not ritual, burning of candles, attending church services, singing of songs. It's about bearing one another's burdens. It's about upholding one another, standing by one another, coming alongside one another, making a difference in each other's lives. This is what your love is all about. This is what we want to be about. We take this opportunity here together as a church family to honor you here this day and in this way to tell you how much we love the pastor that you have given to us, the pastor and his good wife. This is a team effort. This is not just the one man, but a man and his wife together, one, and their whole family. We wish to thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for these people. But we do not know what they do for you. We never will know the things that you are aware of, the way in which they carry each and every one of us in our, in their thoughts and in their hearts, the way in which they carry us in their thoughts all the time, whether they are here between the hours of church service or whether they are in bed or any other time and place, they are carrying us. For that is their responsibility. That is their love. Lord, we thank you for these people. We thank you more than just words. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would refresh them, would sweep over their souls, would make them aware of your presence and of your love, your great acceptance. Lead them away from us in safety in a time of rest and refreshment, a time of renewal. And please, we pray that you would bring them back to us. Because, Lord, if they are not here, then there's a part of us that is very valuable that is missing. So, Lord, help us to uphold them, not just this time, but other times as well, that they may know that they are loved, that they are missed, they are really cherished. For this we pray in your precious name. Amen.
Let me also say that how good it is of the Lord to foresee the need for ongoing pastoral care, even in my absence, and for bringing Bill and Beryl here in time. God has given us a very, very good gift in them. And Bill will basically be acting senior pastor while I'm gone, so please, if there's any issues that you feel you need me for, you have Bill here for, so please take those to him. If there are any issues that he feels are necessary to pass on, then he can forward those to me. Well, go with me, if you will, now to God's Word. We trust that he will speak to us through his Word again this morning, as he always does. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be looking at verse 17. Last week we examined a lot of verses, a whole huge passage. So this morning we're going to do the reverse and simply concentrate on one. Reminds me of a pastor one time who preached a 27-point message. 27 points. He went on and on and on. He got a lot of complaints that week. The chairman of the board, all kinds of people, parents who were frustrated with the time of their kids in the nursery and everything. So he got so many complaints, so he stood up the next morning and he says, "Due to the many points of my last week's sermon and the many complaints, this morning's message will be pointless." Well, that's not the case with this. There will be a very significant point, but I trust that it'll be a little shorter in terms of the focus. Anyway, how many of you have ever wished that you could know God's will? Now, I assume that if you're a believer, that's an obvious question. Perhaps some of you high school students are wondering that right now. Your high school graduates are wondering right now as you face your future, what is going to happen? Perhaps some of you are looking for a spouse or for a safe place to immigrate to or for a new job, and you're wondering the same thing. What is God's will for my life? Or maybe there's an important issue that you would love to get guidance on. Well, if that desire is in your heart this morning, I think the Lord is going to give that to you, give you the guidance, the direction as to how to go about it. I heard about a guy years ago who went to the horse races. He loved to watch horses run, and he was just watching these horses race. And after a while, he noticed a strange thing happen. He looked over at the starting gate where these horses were breaking out of the gate, and there was a priest over there. And the priest would kind of wave his hand over the horse's head, and then the priest would, or the guy would watch the race, and that horse would win the race. He watched this about three or four times in a row, and so he thought, "God, you're telling me something." And so he ran to the bank and got all of his life savings and came and sat down and watched, and sure enough, the priest went over and waved his hand over one of the horses, and he quickly ran to the back and bet his life saving on that horse and came back and watched, and you know, the whistle blew, the gates were open, the horses bolted out of the gate, and about 50 yards down the road, the horse he bet on collapsed and died. And the guy went absolutely ballistic. He started to pull his hair out, and he ran down, found the priest at the beginning of the gates, and he says, "What did you do?" And the guy says, "Well, what did I do? What did you do?" And he told him the story, and he says, "You're not Catholic, are you?" And the guy says, "What does that have to do with it?" And he says, "Well, if you were Catholic, you'd know the difference between a blessing and the last rites." Now, I tell the joke not to put down Catholics. Believe me, I love Catholics, but I tell the joke, it's a joke, simply to make a point. There are many, many people who live their lives like that man. They live their entire lives that way. We may say we want to know God's will, we may even pray for God's blessing, but our lives keep hitting the wall because we're going about it the wrong way. Our passage today provides a simple but profound directive for experiencing life the way God designed it to be. After a long list of practical applications for God's grace in our lives, Paul says in chapter 5, verse 17, the book of Ephesians, he says these words, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Father, we ask that as we examine these simple but absolutely loaded words, that you will speak to us by your Spirit, expose us to your heart, and direct us in our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've never met a person in my entire life who said to me with an honest face, "My life's goal is to be a fool." And yet you and I know many people who have arrived at that destination. How is it? How is it? I'm not referring to doing foolish things. All of us, at one point or another, have done something really foolish, wondering, how in the world could I be so stupid? You've been there, right? Come on, identify with me. Yeah, okay, we've been there. And that's not what we're talking about. There's a significant difference between doing foolish things and being foolish. One is an action, the other is a state of being. Webster's dictionary points to many uses for the words fool and foolish. Everything from being a windbag, comes from the Latin follis for bellows, or it could mean a court jester, or to being the victim of a joke, to an idiot. It means to be playful or funny, to trifle or meddle, or to act silly. Now you may say, does that mean we can't have fun, goof off, tell jokes, or enjoy being funny? Well, if that's the case, I'm in big trouble, because I love to laugh. I love to do that. The word Paul uses here, however, does not mean those things. The word he uses in the original language means without understanding or senseless. And it refers to imprudence or folly in action. It is directly contrasted with the next words in the verse, "but understand." And here Paul uses a word that means the ability to bring things together and see them in relationship to one another. So, basically what he's saying is, do not be without understanding or senseless. Instead, be able to bring things together, seeing them in relationship to one another, by getting God's perspective and input. That's what he's saying. Let me give you a couple other translations to round it out. The New King James Version says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." The Living Bible says, "Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to do." The Contemporary English Version says, "Don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do." And the Dave Petrescu Version says, "Stop wandering around in ignorance, wondering why life doesn't work. Get God's input and then put it into practice." As a pastor and counselor for 25 years, I have observed many lives crumble, blow up, go off track, crash and burn, self-destruct, lose it all, suffer unnecessarily, and endure pain they did not have to experience. Why? In many, many cases, people were without understanding. It means they didn't have insight, or they were senseless, which means they refused insight. Either way, whether they just didn't have it or they refused it, they didn't have it, and therefore their lives ran into ruin. It's like the family who lives behind us, who have a screamer for a child. It was a screaming baby. It is a screaming child. It will one day be a screaming teenager and eventually a screaming adult. And I can guarantee you that this child is in for lots of pain in life because their parents have been foolish. What I mean by foolish, according to the word, is they are without insight. They are without understanding of how to deal with that child. They let the child have whatever it wants, whenever it wants, however it wants, simply because it screams. They did not obtain available information on how to deal with a strong-willed child. You may say, but they don't know that information is available. Information is available if you ask enough questions, if you probe enough, if you find enough. You may say, but there's a language barrier. Dear friends, if somebody wants to know something bad enough, you can find it if you ask God for it. But many of us settle into ignorance, saying, oh, there's no answer for that one. Yes, there is. Don't be stupid. Find out what the Lord's will is. If you're a parent and you haven't checked out God's instructions for raising kids, listen up, friends. Don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. Or like the person who wants to get rich quick and wastes all kinds of time and money chasing options, only to lose the little that they have. They did not read God's wisdom on how to grow our resources little by little by little over time. Don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. Or like the many, many, many people today caught in one of Satan's primary lies that you can fool around sexually outside the bounds of marriage with no negative consequences. Or believing that if there are negative consequences, they can be limited and that the temporary thrill is worth the consequences. Don't be stupid. Instead, find out what the Lord wants you to do. We could apply this two-sentence strategy of success to every single area of life if we had time. And that is exactly what Paul meant when he wrote these words. He was writing a letter to people that he loved dearly. It was the place where he had spent 2 years of his life. And if you know anything of the Apostle Paul, he was hopping from place to place planting churches. Ephesus, he spent 2 years of his life pouring his life into these people. When he came back through Ephesus and the elders came down to Miletus, you can read about it in Acts, he wept tears, buckets of tears, as he had to say goodbye to them. It was heart-wrenching as he let these people go. He loved them dearly. It was to these people that he wrote these words. He longed for God's richest blessing on their lives. This week, this very week, Brenda and I are launching our second child into adulthood. I have 2 days left with my son here in Cairo. And then he's on his own. I've thought many times over the last number of months, what have I missed teaching him? What have I missed investing into his life? What does he still need to make it? Well, I thank God that there's no way that parents can invest everything into the life of their child. There's no way that parents can give all wisdom to their kids. Thank God he surrounds them with other mentors and other teachers and other people who can provide good input. And my children have had that. Many of you have provided that for them. Thank you for that. But as my son leaves my constant watch care as a dad, and as he heads off into his own adult life and career, I can't help but wonder, what should I teach him? What should be my parting words? What should be that last morsel of wisdom that I can give him that will last a lifetime? What should it be? If I could boil down everything I would want him to know, that truth is wrapped up in this verse. Don't be stupid. Don't be unlearned. Don't remain ignorant. Don't think that you know it all. Don't be unwise. Don't act thoughtlessly or be foolish. Instead, find out what God has to say. Search for God's will. Find out what He wants you to know. And do it. Just do it. And what I wish for my son and my daughters, I wish for every one of you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Only a fool would attempt to operate a new piece of machinery without reading the directions. Would any of us dare fly a plane without listening to the instructor? Few of us would be stupid enough to invest our life earnings into a venture we were entirely ignorant of. Then how is it that we can go on in life forgetting to check with the author of life? Why do we look for love and forget the one from whom all love originates? Why do we go on collecting more and more and more information without ever checking with the one who created it all and understands every single intricacy of everything? Well, how do we find God's will, you may say? Good question. How do we discover what He wants us to do? Does He write it on a wall? Does He appear in a dream? Does He shout through a heavenly megaphone? Well, He can do all those things if He wants to, but He probably doesn't. If you examine the Scriptures and the way God has worked with His people through history, you'll discover three tried and true methods for discovering the will of God. And I'm going to whistle through them quickly this morning. Each one we could spend a year on. Just take them down, and I trust it will become a seed that will grow in your life to provide you the direction as you pursue God's will for your life. The first one is search the Scriptures. One of the best things that ever happened to me as a young teenager, or as an older teenager rather, but as a young person, and as a brand new believer in Christ, was discovering the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. It is a great source of wisdom. It has 31 chapters, perfect for a monthly overview. A chapter a day. I've done this for so many years of my life. I don't always do it consistently, but quite often, when I'm just sensing a new need for wisdom, if it's the 9th, I'll just turn to Proverbs 9, and I'll go through the verses. It is loaded with wisdom. Every sentence is pregnant with significance. It was there in my early Christian life, in the book of Proverbs, where I learned life principles about money, about sex, about relationships, about conflict, about priorities, and about many, many, many other issues. It was there. It was there for me. Early in life, I found that if I put this time-tested wisdom into practice, it brought about major benefits in my life, in every arena. It was there. It was there for me, waiting like gold on the side of the road, waiting to be picked up and cashed in. It's there for you. Have you discovered it? Have you sought the Lord's will? I discovered in the book of Proverbs God's will for my life in almost every single area where I was willing to explore it. Proverbs 3:13-18 says, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed." That's God's promise, folks. God has revealed His wisdom to us in the Scriptures, in His Bible. Now, there are many, many things that the Scriptures do not address in life. It will not teach you the quantum theory. It will not deal with higher physics. It will not deal with basic biology. It will not deal with higher math. It will not. There's a lot of stuff that isn't in here. But dear friends, hear me. Every single thing that you and I need for life and godliness is in here. I'm not saying don't find the other information. The world is full of knowledge and go for it. But in the going for it, don't miss the basics. Don't miss the foundation of life, the foundation of wisdom, the foundation of discovering God's will for your life. In His Word, God has given us very clear directives as to what His will is. Let me give you just a few examples this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, which means to be set apart for His special use. It is God's use that you be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Now hear me. If you hear and follow God's counsel on this, you will never be tossed around in the world of immorality. You will never have to wonder if you should divorce your wife and marry your secretary. You will save piles of money from not buying trashy magazines, music, and media that are immoral, pornographic, and godless. And you won't have to worry about getting an STD, sexually transmitted disease. Most of all, and most important, you will have a clean conscience for life and a heart that is uncorrupted before God. You will be free to build relationships with an unshakable foundation of trust. Just from simply following that one verse that God says, "It's my will that you be set apart for me and that you avoid sexual immorality." Simple as that. Build it into your heart, young people, old people, build it in, make it a track on which your life runs, and you will spare yourself countless pain and tragedy. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:18? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Talk about a great verse for an attitude alignment. Now, I realize it may have been somebody else's fault. It may have been somebody else's evil intent that actually got you into a bad situation in life. But in the midst of a bad situation, God's will for you is to give thanks to Him. Not thanks for the situation, because sometimes our situations are wrong and evil, but to give thanks in the situation. Because what that does is God knows that our attitude needs realignment. And when in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of bad circumstances, we continue to give thanks to God, it shifts our focus from the negative to the positive. And instead of dwelling on the sour side of life, we start anticipating how God is going to use even the ugly situations in life to build His glory into our lives. And to talk about a paradigm shift in the attitude, in the outlook, in the perspective. And it creates a positive, believing Christian, a positive, excited person, even in the midst of horrible circumstances. It's God's will that you give thanks in all circumstances. I could go on and on and on. This book, the entire Bible, is jam-packed full with God's directives. You want to know God's will? Search the Scriptures. Don't just leave it on your bookshelf. Don't just open it when you come to church on Friday. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. The second method by which we discover God's will is by seeking out wisdom from the saints, from our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 12:15, we read, "The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." Proverbs 15:22, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." So many people have run off track in their life and gotten into major problems because they wouldn't follow the simple guidance from God's Word, which basically says, you don't have it all, get some insight from people around you. You know the old saying, two heads are better than one? That was a very bad slip. Two heads are better than one. The implication is, you got insight from somebody else, use it. Husbands, wives, why do we go along thinking that we reject the input and the insight of our spouse? Why? God has given them there for you to round out the equation. They see things that you will never see. They're a different personality, a different gender, a different perspective. Get their insight. Incorporate it into the final decision. pastors, church leaders, whatever, why do we think that we have to make all the decisions? Why do we think that we are always right? God has given us a plurality of leadership, a plurality of insight. Lean on them. Glean the insight. Go for it. The wise person seeks counsel. It is the fool who spurns correction and rebuke and insight from others. There is no way that we can figure out everything by ourselves. We need each other. During premarital counseling, when I'm helping couples work through the issues leading up to their marriage, and I point out the five marriage busters, you know what those are? Finances, faith, family, sex, and communication. Most problems couples face fall into one or more of those areas. I point out those five areas, and part of my counsel to them is to search out five different couples. A couple for each area. A couple that reflects strength and quality in each of those five areas. A couple that reflects what they want to be someday in their marriage. And then I say, go to that couple. They'll probably be older than you, more experienced, down the road a ways. They've weathered the bumps, the storms, the bruises. They've learned some life lessons. If the people have their finances in order, if the people have their family relationships with their in-laws and their children in order, if they have their sex life in order, if they have their faith together, even though they may have come from different backgrounds, if they're able to communicate well together, find those people. Latch onto them like a leech, if you will, and tell them right up front, I want what you've got. How did you get it? How did you get there? What did you learn? How did you learn it? And learn from them. Plug your wire into them and download, if you will. Find out what they have learned and search it out by checking with the saints. You will learn far more that way than by reinventing the wheel, by trying to learn it all yourself. The trial and error is a method most people use, and you can learn well that way, but it is unnecessary in most areas of life. Remember that we have wisdom of great and godly people from the past with us through books and through tapes. Our church library is full of that. Check it out. Why should we continue on in ignorance when knowledge and experience are all around us? God has given us many wonderful gifts of wisdom. You may say, where are they? Look around you. Go ahead, look around you. These are gifts that God has given you. Check it out. Check it out. Seek out the saints. God has given them wisdom, and He's wrapped it up in their lives. He's offering you to unwrap it and find His gift. The third method of discovering God's will follows on the heels of the other two. I believe that when our hearts are in tune with Christ, when we have submitted our lives, our desires, and our futures to Him, I believe that He will, by His Holy Spirit, direct us through our inner person, through our spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's another way of saying don't be stupid. Phillips' translation says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. But be transformed, which means to be made new, reshaped, reconditioned, rewired, reprogrammed. Be transformed. How? You know the verse? How? By the renewing of your mind. As a man thinks, so is he. We're like a computer. You put garbage into a computer, what do you get out? Garbage. We as human beings are the same thing. Garbage in, garbage out. If you want to know God's will, if you want to function with His ease and His blessing, you've got to control the input. And because our minds have already received so much junk, so much error, so much untruth, so much stuff that the world says is okay when it's actually for the trash bin, we need reprogramming. And He says when we get our minds transformed, He then goes on to say, He says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is wonderful news. When we get God's word into our minds, it breaks the patterns of foolish thinking. And it enables us to think right. I know some people who say, you know what, I read this and I just don't feel excited when I read God's word. Well, I don't feel excited when I read the how to operate the word system on my new computer. But when I read it, it helps me understand so that it functions. God doesn't always give you a willy. He doesn't always give you a wonderful zip-zap experience when you read His Word. Sometimes it's just getting His truth into your brain. It's as simple as that. Download it, friends. Get it in there. Reprogram, restructure, renew your mind. We are getting renewed by His Word, reshaped, ready to know God's will. By His Word we gain understanding, which is the ability to bring things together and see them in relationship to one another. You will never understand the cosmos. You will never understand the microbiology of the universe. You will never understand human relationships. You will never understand political science, the alignment of nations, future history, prophecy. You will never understand how to raise your kids. You will never understand how to balance your checkbook. You will never understand how all of these things work together in harmony until your mind is renewed by God's Word. Hear it. But when it is, then you can probe the extents of the universe and find amazingly how all truth, wherever it is discovered and whoever discovers it, if it is true, it will align 100% with what God has already declared. Because He's given us the foundation for it all, how it all fits together. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." So to me, early in my Christian life, it was again one of those tracks that were laid down in my life. I believe that there's three parts to that. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's our part. Seek Him first. And make Him my delight. I'm willing to throw away the trash that was brought into my head. I'm willing to say, Lord, my life is Yours. I'm delighting in You. I'm seeking You. I want Your truth. I want Your will. That's my part. What's the next part of the verse? And He will give you the desires of your heart. The second stage is He actually plants desires within us. His desires. He puts them there. I'm delighting in God and all of a sudden I'm starting to want to do things that I didn't want to do before. I'm wanting to please God. I'm wanting to keep myself pure sexually, which I didn't want to do before. I'm wanting to have my finances in order, which before I was looking to make money quick and fast. I'm wanting to do what God wants me to do. How did those desires get there? God put them there. Step one is I delight in the Lord. Step two, He gives me desires in my heart. Step three is He gives me the desires of my heart. He grants them. He fulfills them. What a wonderful track record. That's how God plans to lead His children. From the outside, He stirs us up on the inside. He reshapes us and then leads us according to those internal spirit-born desires. And when we pursue them, when our hearts are right with God, when we sought His will, when our mind has been renewed by His Word, when He has planted desires in us, dear friends, then I believe that to pursue those God-given desires are actually God's will for us. And that's going to differ from person to person. What God plants on my heart is going to be different than what He plants on your heart. It will always be in accordance with His will, revealed in the Word, always. But it'll be personalized, especially for you. Isn't that good news? Especially for you. God knows exactly who you are. He knows your personalities, your desires, your passions, your longings, your gifts. He knows all of that about you. He knows your weaknesses and your strengths. And He somehow tailor-makes that which is eternal and unshakable. He tailors it for your life specifically. And through His Spirit, leads you along those paths. Praise God. That's the kind of Father we have. That's the kind of Father we serve. For some of you, this is going to be your last service at MCC. Some of you are leaving within weeks or over the summer. Some of you have just arrived. Some of you have huge issues that you are facing, decisions that are before you that need to be made. How can you know the good from the bad? How can you know, more importantly, the good from the best? How can you find out God's will? How can you avoid betting your life on a dying horse? How can you avoid that? Well, dear friends, you can forget many, 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 many things in life and not be affected. But whatever you do, wherever you go, however and wherever and whenever you go, never, never, ever, ever forget this. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. If you remember that and apply it, you will know God's richest blessing. Father, thank you for your word that gives us tracks on which to run our lives, tracks that lead us into your fields of blessing, your purpose for our lives, and tailor-made to the specifics of every personality that is in your children. Father, I ask for myself, I ask for my family, for my children, and I ask for all of the families and the moms and dads and the kids and all of those who are here this morning and all those who may hear this in the future. Lord, I ask for them that together we will be a people who are not foolish, who are not remaining in ignorance or rejecting input that you want to bring into our lives, but rather that we are pursuing and finding your truth, your information, your insight, so that we really can understand how all things come together and how they fit for our lives and indeed for the larger picture. Lord, help us to know your will. And when we do, more importantly, help us to do it. For Jesus' sake, and